Blog Talk Radio. Kimberly Krieger, the founder of the Fellowship of Extraordinary Women, wants to help empower you to live an extraordinary life and tell your story. My name is Heather Taylor, and I want to welcome you to Coffee with Kim on Blog Talk Radio. Now, here is your host, Kimberly Krieger. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Heather Taylor. I am so glad I can hear your voice. For so many reasons.
I was so scared you couldn't. When I saw your face, I'm like, no.
So, listeners, we are we have each other on FaceTime on our iPhones, so we can see each other, but we mute each other on the phone. And we have had a slew of obstacles this morning, the least of which was not being able to hear each other on the radio. So, is this our fifth attempt, or?
Yeah, I actually have 5 invitations. So yeah, this is our 5th try. 5.
Oh my gosh, it's just crazy. But that's not the craziest thing. The craziest thing is I woke up to a flood in my basement today.
Noah was sailing through her basement as she got ready to do the show today.
Oh, if it wasn't so bad, I'd laugh. It's so bad. Like,
I am so sorry.
Bad. It's so bad.
How bad is it?
Can y'all just pray for my basement and my mental health? Like, not in that order. Pray for my mental health and then my basement.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a laughing matter at all, but it is good to try to find the humor in these situations, Kim.
Oh, yeah.
Were there any dirty socks down there? Maybe something that needed to be cleaned?
Well, you know, this is what my neighbor said. You know, it's just the groundwater is just rising, so it's real clean water. I was like, is that supposed to make me feel better?
Grab all your kids and get some straws, and that stuff will be gone all the time.
He's like, I mean, really, you could drink it. I'm like, yep, still isn't making me feel better. Like,
drink it after it's soaked through the walls and into the carpets and the
laundry room. Let's not go there. But I'm like, you know, does it matter to me if it's drinkable when it's literally destroying
what
my basement?
What does that mean exactly? Yeah, I guess maybe he means like it's not dirty water, so it's not going to smell bad.
Maybe. I don't know. This is like my first real experience with a flood that is going to damage like valuable things. I've never had flood worries in the past because I didn't have anything valuable.
Well, I thought you were going to say you've been lucky and never had a flood. Okay, I get it. We actually had a flood back
flood and it was like, yeah, everything down there, we'll throw it all away.
Yeah, nobody cares, right?
Nobody
we had
cares.
A flood after Hurricane Ivan, but the ironic thing is the flood ended up coming through our roof and it was 6 weeks after the actual hurricane. But one of the pipes had broken and it was a slow leak. So after we thought everything was all coming back together and being more normal, all of a sudden we're sitting watching TV. And I believe it was like Lost, to give you an idea how long ago this was. We're all sitting around piled watching TV and my roof caves in. Like, boom, right on. I believe there was a couple drops and I was like, Terry, is that water? And then, boom, flood water. Like, I thought the end of the world had happened twice.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I don't feel so bad. I just have power level problems, but not feeling problems.
Well, no, I mean, flood is a flood. It's still bad. But, yeah, ours was kind of shocking because we were so interested in the show. And then, lo and behold, boom, we were lost.
I was going to say, your own episode of Lost. Oh, my gosh. Crazy. Well, nonetheless, Heather and I talked this morning. And I'm like, we're going to go forward with Coffee with Kim because we don't want to disappoint our listeners in 2 countries and 19 states.
Right? I know. Hello, Norway. Who loves you?
Norway.
We
oh my
love
gosh.
You.
Norway, like, we love you, United States. You know, it's kind of like, when your family shows up, you're like, thank you, family. But when friends show up and they're not obligated, you're like, thank you, friends.
And they're like 8-hour different time zones. That's awesome.
Like when friends from out of state show up, you're like, wow, you love me. Well, that's how we feel about Norway right now.
All I can say is Norway, I love cold weather. If you invite us to come do any type of speaking engagement, Kim and I will happily go. Just make
wait,
sure
wait,
you
wait.
Know.
I'm not a fan of cold weather, but I'll tell you.
I didn't ask you.
Yeah, I know. I'm a fan of Europe. I'm a fan of Norway.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a fan of flying over the big pond. I'm there. I love it.
Amen. I've never gone, so there you go, Norway. That's your invitation.
Norway.
Get Heather Taylor over to Norway, and I will bring Miss Kimberly Krieger with me. No, but in all seriousness, I would love to hear from our fan or fans in Norway. So if you can, find us on Coffee with Kim on Facebook. And give us a little jot a little note down. Tell us how it's going.
Yeah,
we're so excited.
Just search for our group. It's public. And join us there. We call it our online coffee shop. We'll have to figure out how to serve us espressos and things there. I don't know how that's going to work. But
yeah.
We
definitely give out like free Starbucks cards once a week. Wouldn't that be cool to like a lucky listener who leaves a comment?
Actually, that is such a good idea. Do you guys, like listeners, what do you think about Starbucks? Well, I'm not really a big fan of Starbucks, though.
Well, a lot of people are, though. And we can't go to their house and give them an espresso, Kim, so we're going to have to give in to the man.
We can. Thank you, ma'am.
We should give away a free coffee with every Coffee with Kim episode. They just have to leave a comment. With either, you know, what they liked about the show or...
I say they call in because we can
don't have that. Yeah, but we don't have the technology yet.
Yeah, we do. I got the number right here.
You do?
Guest call in 917-889-9925. The first person to call in gets a $5 Starbucks gift card. From Heather Taylor.
I'll do it. Okay, so what is the phone number again?
917-889-9925. Mm-hmm. That's the number to call in. Join Miss Heather Taylor and I on this crazy making flooded Wednesday. But seriously, you guys, we want to thank our listeners from 19 states, from the U.S., two countries, the U.S. and Norway. We're so thrilled that this is only our fourth episode. If you count all of our private episodes we've had to do to work out the kinks, we're on like our 30th episode. But, you know, just the real episodes that you guys hear, this is number 4. And we're already in 20 places in the world. And that's just states and countries. That's not even all
so
the
exciting.
Cities. So
and every time I ask Kim, she's like, "Yeah, we have two listeners." So
no,
I was really
shocked. I said three.
Three, you're right. Three.
I'm like, "Hey, Heather, tomorrow's Coffee with Kim. You, me, and our three listeners." And I just think it's funny. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I'm just, it's my weird sense of humor. I knew we had more than three, but I thought, hey, you know how it is, undersell, overdeliver. So I'm kind of underselling to myself.
Yeah, no, I do the same. I don't want to know there's people actually listening. I don't have the self-confidence for that. All I hear is my loud cackle. And I don't know why anyone would want to hear that. But okay, so here's
guys,
the deal, though.
We're in denial.
I have to share this real quick. This whole call in and get the free coffee, we did not practice that. But it is for real. So anyone out there who wants a free Starbucks coffee card, call in now. And I love that idea. I think we should do it every week.
Okay.
And I also want to thank all those people that are spreading the word because it's awesome. We have some like real fans out there that love us and want to help us. And Kim is playing with her blue snowball.
I'm so totally thankful for every single listener. So spread the word. If you happen to be listening from – well, wherever you're listening from, and you don't know if you're on our map yet, put a comment in our comment box on Coffee with Kim or in Facebook somewhere, message me, whatever. Just let us know where you're listening from because prior to yesterday, I really just, you know, was counting on my three listeners. And then when I went into the demographics, I'm like, what? We've got 19 states and two countries. And so now it's like fun. I want to know where people are listening from. How many countries can we get on that map? How many states? I want the continental U.S. blue, lit up in blue, because all the states that were and countries we're heard in are all different shades of blue, depending on how many listeners there are. So Wisconsin, which is where I'm from, and Florida, which is where Ms. Heather's from, those are the darkest blue states, and that's because we have the most listeners there. But listen, even if we have one listener in one state or country, we're going to get some blue.
Absolutely. Spread the word, ladies. If you have relatives in Scotland, Ireland, London, anywhere, just spread the word. Let's get some people. And it doesn't have to be live. You can also log in after.
Good we record. Point. That's right. You can listen back to our archives. And we have so many archives. Three episodes.
And they're all great.
So it's going to be really hard for you to decide which one to listen to. But anyway, you guys, we have a point today. We have a point today, don't we, Heather?
We do. I think we have a topic, maybe.
Yes.
I think the topic may have gone out the window, but.
No, we've got stuff. Our title today is Conversations in Your Head. But before we get into that, because I'm having a lot of those right now, like listeners, you do not know what's going on up in my head today. And I'll try not to let you in too far because it's a scary place. But Heather, I heard you dressed up like a cow recently.
Well, as you can contest, I think that's the right word, Miss Kim, I happen to love cows. Your daughter I love cows. I do. Baby cows especially. But Kim's daughter actually, the real short story, took me to her mother-in-law's cow farm. I hung out with her mother-in-law, who I dearly love now. So I don't even know if I met the dad, to be honest. But anyway, I got to feed a 2-week-old baby cow, and that was honestly, as silly as it sounds, it was a dream of mine. I just love cows, big cow fan. So yesterday
I got to interrupt you. You know what's going in our Coffee with Kim Facebook group now, right?
No, what?
The video I took of you feeding that baby cow.
Oh, heck no.
Yeah,
it's
going
hard.
Listeners, check it out. You can see Heather's life being made by feeding a baby cow a big bubba.
The purest, sweetest moment of my life, and Kim's going to ruin it by posting it on Facebook. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Yes, I was dressed horribly, but it doesn't matter because I got to touch baby cow.
She was
so precious.
Literally on cloud nine as this baby cow was going to town on this giant bottle. I mean, it was adorable. I had to get on video. It was like I was videoing my kids at the farm for the first time. It was literally adorable.
So now I have the mentality of a 5-year-old, but that's okay. No, I can tell you this. Only my husband could truly appreciate how much that moment meant to me because he knows how much I want a cow. But anyway, so yesterday was Save the Cows Day at Chick-fil-A. So I, of course, had to participate to save the cow, and my granddaughter and I dressed up like cows. We did the whole face makeup. We did, I looked up and we have a member asking to join Coffee with Kim. Yay! We made 60. That was my number.
Oh,
But anyway, yes, we dressed up as cows. We had wonderful time. Chick-fil-A is so awesome. Anybody who went there dressed like a cow got free food. So when have you ever gone to Chick-fil-A and had two meals for $2.03? It was
never.
Worth the makeup.
Never.
Right. And the food was so delicious.
And you guys, those pictures are going to be in there too. Now, I didn't see any pictures of you dressed up as a cow, Miss Heather. I only saw Kenzie, your adorable little granddaughter. So
I have one.
Come on, give it up. We want to see the cow pictures.
Okay, I will post that. I will post that after this conversation.
Yay! Okay. So, you guys, this
You're
is...
You're so bad.
Coffee with Kim is serious. I mean... We're going to show you Heather feeding a baby cow, Heather dressed like a cow. I mean, why weren't our conversation, why wasn't our topic about conversations about cows today?
I think next week, well, instead of interviewing Laura, let's just interview a cow.
Oh my God. Speaking of that, you guys, listen to this. In 2 weeks from today, we will be interviewing one of the co-authors from Fuse's next book. So the Fellowship of Extraordinary Women is committed to helping women tell their stories. And we do this in a variety of ways, but one of the coolest ways is by publishing these collaborative books with multiple co-authors who come together in this book to tell their story under the same topic. And the next book that we are actually launching tonight, we are going to begin the writing process with our co-authors tonight, is called The Miracle Effect. Yeah. The Miracle Effect, and the subtitle is How a Miracle Changed the Lives of These Extraordinary Women. And you're going to begin...
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to ask you, is there still room and still time to get into the book, even though you're launching it tonight?
Well, if you're listening live or you listen today, there's time. But after tonight's event, not so much. We are going to be sending out our first writing assignment tomorrow. We're getting going on this. So tonight, it's so fun. The ladies are going to get to meet my team and find out really what this experience is all about. Like, this is not this is not an assignment, this is not a project, this is an experience. These authors are ready to have their lives changed. But anyway, in the coming weeks of Coffee with Kim, you're going to begin to hear interviews with our co-authors. We're going to be highlighting some of the stories from the book, and you're going to get to meet some of these extraordinary women. And what's so awesome about this is, since the topic is the miracle effect, we're going to take time on each show and talk about miracles. Our faith is going to be so expanded. Our view of God and what he's capable of is going to just be, I guess, blown out of the water. And I love this. I love this because we live in this time, this era of so much doubt, so much unbelief, so much skepticism. Right. And yet, there's all these women gathering together because God has done miracles for them. What if everybody, just a thought, what if everybody who God has ever done a miracle for gathered in one place in the world?
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Would we be so afraid to trust God? Would we be so unsure of what he could do for us if all the people who could say God did a miracle for me gathered in one place? I think that we'd fill a city. We'd fill probably New York City. I mean, it's just, it's incredible. But this book is going to be amazing. And Laura Landon, she's a recording artist out of Nashville, Tennessee. She's going to be our first interview in 2 weeks. So join us in 2 weeks. But anyway, let's get back to our conversations, Miss Heather. Conversations in our head.
Oh, yes, ma'am. This is going to be a doozy.
Sure is. Now, people talk all the time about how they talk to themselves. We talk about self-talk, and it's the things we're saying to ourselves. But we're not talking about that today. We're not talking about just like, you know, having positive thoughts or negative thoughts, those kinds of conversations. We're talking about when you've got tension in your life with another person. And you have to have a conversation, or you want to have a conversation, or you did have a conversation, and you just keep going over that thing in your head, and you're looping something. And
you're not having the conversation with someone, you're having the conversation for someone in your head, and you don't like how they're responding.
Like, already in your head, you're like, no, not having it. And
yeah,
you haven't
we
even
joke.
Talked to them yet.
Exactly. So, like, when you finally do run into them, you're already peeved at them because you didn't like the way they answered in your head.
Like, you've got guns loaded because in your head they were not going to be cooperative. But here's the thing. So, Heather and I were talking about this one day on the phone, and she said this. She goes, you know, we need to stop having conversations for the other person and start having conversations with the other person. And I went, hold that thought. I got to write that down. And she
goes,
really?
I finally had one.
She's like,
that doesn't happen often, folks.
And then she goes, every now and again, I say something smart.
this every now and then something slips out.
Yeah, she's like, I accidentally sound brilliant. No, it was awesome. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so good. This needs to be a Coffee with Kim topic. This is not just a girl thing. This is not just a Kim and Heather thing. This is a person, a human thing. Like,
yeah.
We, you know, there's a variety of reasons why we do this. We have the conversation in our head because we feel more powerful when we think we know how it's going to go. We have the conversation in our head sometimes to decide, is it even worth having? I'm going to have it in my head first. And if it goes badly in my head, I'm not even going to have it at all.
Yeah.
Are you finding any like possible holes in the system?
You know, I could see a few problems. Yeah. One, you're not allowing the other person to actually tell you how they feel. You're just assuming how they feel. And yeah. I don't know a whole lot about psychology, but I'm pretty sure that's a big no-no. You're supposed to let the other person tell you. And, you know, the thing is, I think to a certain extent, you know, to kind of go through it in your head once is probably healthy and good. So you don't speak directly from your heart and just boom, boom, boom. Especially if you have some stronger feelings. But I think to repeat it and then decide what they're going to say and then make your adjustments based on what you think they're going to say, I think then you're going too far.
Yeah. So what I'm
hearing you say
is there's a difference between being prepared for a conversation and having it fully scripted and deciding how it's going to play out.
Yeah, especially if someone goes off script. That could really throw you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm thinking back to years ago when I was having to begin to say no and set boundaries in a really tough relationship. And, you know, all I could think about is what the other person was going to say. And then what do I say if they say this? And what do I say if they say that? And what do I say? You know, and I was doing the whole, there's, you know, let's say, three possible outcomes if I say this to this person, A, B, C, I need to be prepared for all three. And the person that was coaching me, it was really she was my counselor, but she was a fantastic coach. And she said, you know, what you have to remember is the reason we communicate, the reason we have a conversation. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, we don't have a conversation in order to change a person's mind. We don't have a conversation in order to make someone think how we think. We don't have a conversation even to get agreement. And I'm like, well, then why do we have it? Because that's the only reason I've ever had a conversation.
I was going to say, that's why I have them. I don't know what she's talking about. But
yeah, she's going, no, she goes, she rocked my world that day. Man, she rocked my world in a lot of days. But this day, she goes to me, we have the conversation to be a responsible communicator.
Wow.
And she said, what they do with it. Well, she said, what they do with it is up to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like all pressure's off you to try to get an outcome. And this is why we rehearse these conversations in our minds. We're trying to get a certain outcome. We're trying to see what our odds are of getting that outcome, right? So we what if we all changed our desired outcome or our goal or our intent to, I'm going to be a responsible communicator in the relationship. In this relationship, I'm responsible for communicating my thoughts and feelings in a respectful way. So that's what I'm going to do.
Wouldn't that be new?
I can hardly imagine it, can you? I've stumped you. So... But you guys, like, this is powerful because I had to go practice that then. So she said, if your intent is solely to be a responsible communicator and they're not, let's just say, on board with what you're saying, then do you need to say it 10 different ways? Do you need to say, yeah, but, or do you just need to quietly and calmly repeat what you said the first time?
Yeah.
And so I did this. I went and put it into practice. And I said to the person, hey, I just want to let you know that what you did, and I described what they had done. It was a certain incident. And I said, when you did blank, that really made me feel sad. And it made me feel, I think I said it made me feel hurt. I felt hurt and upset or sad and mad. I don't remember what I said, but I said
yeah.
it made me feel these things. And I said, I just wanted to let you know that, because that's what a responsible communicator would do. Hey, your actions made me feel this way. And,
right.
And the person did not receive. It was defensiveness. And then it was, well, if you wouldn't do blank, 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 blank,
right, right.
I wouldn't have to do blank, 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 blank. And this
mm-hmm.
is what immediately the bait that I would normally take and get into this, you know, not good conversation, this disagreement. And instead,
the conversation goes awry.
Yeah. Instead, I'm just being a responsible communicator. I'm not trying to prove anything to you. So I just said, and this is how she coached me, that may be true, and it may not, but I didn't say that. That may be true, but when you did blank, it made me feel blank. Well,
right.
blah, 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 blah. That may be true, but when you did blank, it made me feel blank. And I repeated that line 3 times, and when it was obvious that there wasn't going to be a true understanding here or any kind of effort to understand, I just
yeah.
said, I just wanted to let you know, and I walked away.
That's perfect, yeah. No
Man,
one to
was
end
that
the
freeing.
Conversation.
That was free.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I've given plenty of opportunity for understanding. If someone wants to listen to understand, they have the opportunity.
Mm.
But, you know, I mean, going over that conversation and in advance and saying, I'm going to say this, and then they're going to say this, and then I'm going to say this. Like, I never would have probably had the conversation had I done that. But instead, my preparation, okay, so the difference between being prepared and writing the script.
Exactly.
Is when I'm prepared, I'm just prepared with what I'm going to say, and it doesn't matter what they say because I'm just being a responsible communicator. And if
right,
the conversation
exactly.
goes south, I'm going to exit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's good to prepare your thoughts, but don't write a script, you know, because you're not going to have both actors on the same page anyway.
Oh,
at least
amen.
If you live in my world.
Amen. Amen. And I remember having a talk with one of the kids once, and he was saying, he was talking about somebody else in his life. And he's like, this person just does not ever, ever agree with me. They're just never going to agree.
Yeah.
And I said to him, well, honey, if you change your goal in talking to having the conversation to understand versus having the conversation to get agreement,
right.
you might have a different outcome. And he's like, wow, you're supposed to have conversations to just understand, not agree.
Yeah.
I know. That's
ding,
huge
ding.
Right there. Like, what if we just said, hey, I really want to understand you. And that is hard when the emotions run so high.
Well, Kim, let me ask you a question. What do you think the importance of being a good communicator is? Like, normally we're saying we have conversations because we want to make our point across, obviously. So where do we go wrong? What do we need to change to make it we're communicating our feelings, but we're not getting defensive and aggressive and trying to change the way they feel?
Well, I think the best, you know, I guess you could say my little mantra, and it fits here, is we just need to keep our side of the street clean. That's the importance. So it's not easy to do in contention and conflict, but if you make your priority, like, what do I need to do to be a good communicator? And that means I'm honest, I'm forthright, but I'm respectful.
Right.
You know, though, that's being a good communicator. And if that thing goes totally to pot, you get to look in the mirror at the end of the day and say, all right, well, I did my part. I was honest. I was forthright. I didn't raise my voice. I didn't call names. You know, I didn't hit below the belt. It didn't work out and the other person wasn't willing to do the same, but I did my part.
Yeah, absolutely. And would you say there's any boundaries as to what you can say to be a good communicator? Like, because, I mean, you know, just like everything, you can go too far. You know, you can do it in the name of being a good communicator, but maybe you're judging them in that process. So are there limits to what you should say and what you shouldn't say?
You mean during the conversation?
Yeah, during the conversation. Like, you know, I don't know, in my head, because I am so judgmental. I work on this all the time, but I'm really judgy. And anyone who knows me knows this is sadly true. So I guess what I'm asking is, you know, if I'm going in to have a conversation with my husband about something he said or did that hurt my feelings, when is it too much? Like if I go, you know, honey, when you did this and it hurt my feelings, I really think you were being a total jerk and I don't appreciate, you know, like where do we cut it off?
Yeah.
When is it healthy and when is it not healthy?
Yeah. So obviously, you know, it's look at it this way. When you start a conversation, you are on the doorstep or the porch of somebody's house, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And being a responsible communicator means you ring the doorbell, they open the door, and you drop off this package. And then they decide if they're going to open it and do something with it. When you cross the line and you're like, you are a total jerk, you are selfish, you suck, that's you busting into their house and ransacking it.
Oh, so that's bad. Okay. Mental note to self.
You know what I'm
Don't
saying?
Don't be a ransacker.
Like people's lives and hearts and emotions are kind of like that. Like you got to knock on the door and you got to drop off the package. And you know, what's really tough, oh, here's a tough one. You knock on the door and they won't answer.
Mm-hmm. Then what
and
do you do?
You got to leave it on the porch. And you gotta walk away, you know, honestly.
Can we write a nice, like, 3-page letter telling them why they should have opened the door?
3 pages, huh? You know, but it's like some packages need to be signed for. And, like, honestly, like, if you're being a responsible communicator in your relationship, you need to open the door and sign for the package. You can't,
yeah.
You can't just not answer the door and leave the box on your porch for 6 months. It's,
I
mean, you can. When you have to set this boundary and you have to like end a toxic relationship, that's a whole different thing. So let's just set that way over here and say, we're not talking about toxic relationships. You actually have to end. I'm talking
right.
about you're in a relationship, you've got tension, you're responsible for your part in this relationship.
Right,
and so
right.
that might mean you got to go knock on the door and bring the box. And you have to be willing to open your door when they knock on your door with their box.
Right. Yeah. There's a two-way highway here.
Yeah.
Two
yeah.
lanes of traffic.
And here's
and
what I want to
highlight. Really... Go ahead.
When you enter into a committed relationship, okay, it might be a marriage, a friendship, whatever. It might be a business partnership. It just depends. But when you enter into this relationship, you're basically saying, I'm choosing to be a responsible member of this relationship. You know, you don't sign a charter or a contract, but by giving and taking in the relationship, by committing to this person, you're saying, I'm committed to this relationship. And so what's really tough is a lot of times we'll have these conversations in our head. They don't go well. We decide, not worth it. Why? Why is it not worth it? Well, because it's going to make me uncomfortable. It's going to cause me to expend energy I don't want to expend. It might even be painful.
Yeah.
It might be frustrating. It might be annoying. It might take time. There's all these reasons we might say, I'm not even going to have the conversation. But here's what I want to say today, you guys. If we're doing that solely because we have to pay a personal price,
mm-hmm.
we have stopped being committed to the relationship. We have stopped making the relationship first and we have started putting ourselves first.
Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And if you're taking all that time to have the conversation in your head anyway, why not have the conversation with the person and, you know, get a little uncomfortable? Maybe that's what's needed. You know what
well,
I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, here's the thing. If you have the conversation in your head enough, you're so exhausted of it that might be the one and only reason why you're not going to go have the conversation because you already tired yourself out in your own head. And so, you gotta just like relax in the brain. Like there is a certain point where you're not helping yourself, putting this thing on loop, getting yourself worked up, telling yourself it's going to be bad. It's going to be stressful. I'm going to feel uncomfortable. I'm going to get anxious. I'm going to get mad. I'm going to get hurt. And you already talked yourself out of the talk. And this is what's really, I've seen this over and over. The thing that suffers the most is the relationship. And if you care about this relationship at all, you know, that's just tragic that because maybe only one person in the relationship decides, I don't want to have the talk. So now both people suffer.
Yeah. But I do know that if you approach someone and you're humble, you know, the real concept is to get your point across, but to do it in a loving, caring way. I mean, if you're in a loving relationship, I believe the other person's going to be interested in hearing what you have to say. And if you're showing yourself as, you know, I'm open here, I'm vulnerable, then usually, you know, once again, this is a healthy relationship we're talking about, you know, you want to have a communication, then it's easier for you to stay humble, and then they respond to it, I think, the same way.
Yeah, exactly. And again, you know, this is where it gets tricky. We're trying to get somebody to do something, to think something, to agree with something, to stop doing something. And if we're having a conversation in our mind with that person, you know, a fake conversation, a lot of times we're scripting ourselves, like, what do I need to say to get them to get it?
Yeah, right, to manipulate them, basically.
Yeah, like, what do I have to say to get this person to get on board with my agenda? Like, whatever that might be. It might be, I just want more peace in our relationship. You might think, hey, this is a good thing I want. But because your intent is to change the person's mind and thoughts, your energy is automatically being wasted rehearsing that in your mind, trying to come up with ways to convince somebody of something. Like, you're not in a courtroom. It's not your job to convince a jury. You're in a relationship, and your job is to be a responsible, respectful communicator, period. And if you communicate in an aggressive way, or you don't communicate at all, then you're shirking your responsibility in that relationship. And at the end of the day, you know, one of the things that made me understand this more deeply is when my coach looked at me and said, you know, isn't it really all about the person looking back at you in the mirror at the end of the day and you being able to look her in the eye?
Right, exactly.
And I thought, you know what, the whole world could disagree with me, but if I can look that woman in the eye at the end of the day that's looking back at me in the mirror, that's the life I want to live. And you know, there have been plenty of times I couldn't look her in the eye, but I'm going to learn from those times, and I'm going to continue to do my utmost to say, hey, here's where I got it wrong. Here's where I think I got it right. Here's where I'm going to, you know, here's what is working. I'm going to keep doing what is working. Here's what's not working. But I'll tell you what does not work: having these conversations, predicting the outcome, and then, you know, A, you either abandon the conversation before you ever have it, or B, you go have the conversation and you're already on the defense because you already decided the other person's going to be a jerk.
Yeah, exactly. Which I love those conversations because you're literally, no, I'm not even going to waste my time. I'm not going to give them a chance to defend themselves. I'm just going to go and be mad at him. Those are my favorite kind of conversations.
Hello. I mean, guys, this isn't helping. That's like, if the title of our show today should have been, this isn't helping.
Yeah. Wake up, world.
It isn't helping. You know, but yeah, so think about that in terms of, I already decided this person's going to be a jerk. So when I launch my spiel, I'm already like maybe like a little hostile, a little aggressive, a little defensive, a little wall is up because I'm ready for them to attack me. I'm ready for them to blame shift. I'm ready for them to defend themselves. And so, you know, we can't go into this predicting what they're going to say. This is a saying that I've been living by for a long time. After loving some people in my life who struggle severely with addiction. And, you know, I've been on that roller coaster ride. I came up with this saying to believe for the best, but plan for the worst.
Right. That's, that's perfect for everything.
Yep, you go into these conversations, I'm going to believe for the best that I'm going to be a responsible communicator, and so are they. But I'm going to plan for the worst. And that's not, if they say this, I'll say this. If they say that, I'll say this. That's not planning for the worst. Planning for the worst is I'm going to exit the conversation, because the worst case scenario is that somebody gets disrespectful, right? And
right.
So, you know, Danny Silk, who is the author of Keep Your Love On, and Loving Your Kids on Purpose is another one. And he's just all about connecting and being vulnerable, but he also is about boundaries. Like, you can't allow disrespect. And so he has this saying, like, I will not participate in a conversation that is disrespectful.
Right.
You know, so
I love that.
That's your exit plan. Oh, this conversation just took a turn. I'm going to exit. And I'll be back, you know, I'll talk to you, like Love and Logic. I will talk to you when you're calm. I'll talk to you when you're respectful. I like the saying, I'll talk to you when I feel respected, because I'm not feeling respected right now. Or I just say to the kids, I'll talk to you when you're sweet. Bring
I'll
that
talk
sweetness.
To you when your mood's a little better, honey.
honestly,
I can even use an example in my life real quick that, one of my friends was, it's actually one of my children's friends, but they were speaking with me and they were asking me to do something. And I, you know, nicely told them that it just wasn't something I was willing to do. And she got a little upset with me. I mean, she used some really strong words that hurt my feelings. I mean, hurt my feelings enough to, like, I actually was crying because the things she said were a little bit mean. So, you know, I think in that situation, you have two ways to go. You can just, well, blah, 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 blah. Or you can just choose to end the conversation, you know, because it's not healthy. She's obviously saying things to hurt me. And I think sometimes when you let them do that, when you let them feed on it, the conversation's not going to end well. So, you know, I just chose to say, I'm sorry you feel that way. You know, I wish you the best. Take care and end the conversation. And I'm so glad I did that, because I do tend to have a sharp tongue, so I can be hurtful when I want to. But, you know,
I say that so calmly. I do tend to have a sharp tongue.
Yeah, my tongue does tend to split people in half on occasion. But, you know, the thing is, by walking away and not taking that extra stab, it gave her time to kind of think about what she was saying, and I wasn't, you know, in the conversation. So anyway, like 3 days later, I get this beautiful bouquet of roses delivered to my door. And my husband walks up and says, you got some splaining to do, Heather. You know, like, who's sending you flowers?
Who? What's his name?
I don't. And I was actually like, I really don't know. So when I read the card, it was just so beautiful. She apologized and she said, you know, I took my anger out on you and you didn't deserve it. And I really appreciate you loving me. So, you know, sometimes it really is best just to get your point across, tell them you love them, and then walk the heck away before, you know, your anger gives in to the situation. I think we can learn a lot from today's. Maybe prepare yourself in your head, but don't have the conversation for everyone.
Yeah. Good job, Miss Heather, summing that up. You know, preparation is not the same as writing the script.
I actually took a note when you said that, because I thought that was so good. You can be prepared, but don't write the script.
You can write your lines, but leave theirs alone. I mean, it, you know, and I think the ultimate lesson here is it doesn't matter totally what the other person says in terms of what you're going to say. If you're being a responsible communicator, you're doing that without an expectation on them. You're bringing that package to their door. You're hoping they open the door and let you in. You're hoping, right?
Right, right.
But they might just talk to you through the peephole, like, thing. They might, you know what I'm saying?
And that's not your responsibility. That's theirs. So you just got to let your end. Yeah.
Yeah. They might wait till you leave and pick up that box and open it later, you know? Maybe that's an email or a text message. I don't know. But here's the deal. If you go there like, I'm bringing this package, that's my job in this relationship. And I, if they open the door, I'm going to come in. I'm not going to ransack their house. You know, and if something inside that package makes me uncomfortable because it's about me, then also as a responsible member of the relationship, I'm going to take a look at that, no matter how uncomfortable that feels, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, conversations in your head, like, wow, this could be months and months of coffee with Kim because we haven't even talked and we're not going to today, but this doesn't even include all the conversations we're having with ourselves that don't help.
Amen. That is a whole nother. We do need to have that one, though, because that is important. Few went over that a little bit, this last few.
Yes. Yeah, our last topic was turning your inner critic into your inner coach, and that was awesome. Awesome, awesome topic.
That was excellent.
Anyway, guys, so we want you to clear up these conversations in your head. Don't decide for people. I'm going to add one more thing to this. If you're in sales, if you've ever been in sales, or even just you're a mom, you know, don't decide for people. Women tend to be real good at saying, oh, I already know what they're going to do. I already know what they're going to want. I already know what they're going to think. If you're in sales, you're like, they're not going to want to buy that. They're not going to want to spend that much money. They're not going to want to invest right now at Christmas. They're not going to want, you know. We do that all the time. And it's no different than having a conversation with someone in your head where there's tension. So
exactly.
This doesn't just apply to personal relationships. This applies to business. You know, we're going to ask someone
to
help us. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we're going to ask for help in our business and we've already decided they're not going to want to help me. Well, how do you know? Like, let's stop voting for everybody and give people a vote. And all I can say to you is, how would you feel if no one ever asked you or never gave you a vote?
Yeah, you're flat out being inconsiderate by assuming they wouldn't want to do it. And you know what? You don't know what they're thinking. You're not in their brain.
That's right.
When I was in sales, my motto was ask, 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 because for every no, there's going to be a yes around the corner. I used to literally count my no's. I wanted 10 no's. I knew if I could get 10 no's, a yes was coming.
Well, and it's interesting because in sales, we tend to superimpose our budget on other people. So if we would never spend more than $1,000 at once on clothes and we're selling clothes at a clothes store, we're going to stop selling when they get to about $1,000 because we've assumed their spending cap is our spending cap, or maybe it's, you know, a grocery budget or jewelry budget or whatever it is we're selling. We decide, I would never spend $500 on jewelry. So we stop asking them if they still want to look at our stuff.
Yeah. If you're uncomfortable, they'll see it, they'll know it. And that makes them uncomfortable. If you're selling a high price item and you go up to someone and go, oh, this is like, it's $1 million. I know it's so much. And you start making excuses for the price before you even ask them if they can afford it. You are doing yourself and that person a huge disservice. If you're going to be selling a high-priced item, you go in and you act like $1 million is a buck. Yeah, this thing's only $1 million. Da-da-da-da-da. You know, it's all in the attitude, all the way you approach it.
Well, because
trust me.
What if for them $1 million is a buck? I mean, that's the whole point.
Exactly.
You know, you're not trying to play mind games, but you're going to lay down any assumption that they, A, can't afford it, B, won't buy it, C, aren't interested, and on and on and on. You know, and we do that even when we are inviting a girlfriend out to dinner. Oh, she's not going to want to go out to dinner with me. How do you know? Ask her.
Well, because I asked her 12 other times and she said no. No.
Okay, well, in that case, maybe you're onto something. Maybe you need to take a hint. But anyway, ladies, we can do better. And if we've got some guys listening, I know there's guys who do this too. They play out the whole conversation. They've already decided what the other person is going to say. And that's what we're encouraging and challenging you today to stop doing. Let other people decide for themselves. You decide for yourself. And be a responsible communicator. That's it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Miss Kim, it's that time at the end of the show where we get to hear your health is wealth tip of the week. I cannot wait.
You know, so my basement's flooded. And
I don't know why I'm loving.
Yeah. I had a couple ideas for this health is wealth tip. And then when I woke up today, I was like, oh man. And here's my tip, you guys. When life is stressful and you feel flooded, pun intended, you need to take extra self-care. What do I mean by that? Well, your self-care level should match your stress level. So today I feel particularly stressed, and I'm going to need to take some extra self-care today. I'm going to need to take some extra time praying. I'm going to need to be finding my inner peace more frequently. I might even need a massage when this is all said and done, y'all. But I'll tell you, self-care is as important to your health as any of the other tips I've given you. If you ignore your well-being in stressful times, you're going to find sickness, pain, headaches. You're not going to be eating right. You're not going to remember to drink your water. You're going to say, I don't have time to exercise. I got too much crap going on. And so I'm going to just tell you right now, your self-care needs to get a shove into higher priority when you are under more stress. And many people tell me self-care gets pushed to the back burner when they feel really stressed, because who's got time for that? Well, listen, honey, you can't afford not to. You don't have time not to take care of yourself when you're under a lot of stress. So I'm going to give you all the advice I'm going to give myself today. Take extra self-care today. Do what you need to do to stay centered, to stay strong. It might mean extra sleep. It might mean nap, not for me today, but I mean for you, y'all. I don't have time for that. But whatever you need
to
do.
Ain't no one got time for that.
Ain't no one. Especially not me. But whatever you need to do today to fill that tank up so that you can deal with your situation today. And just don't worry about tomorrow. Stay in today. Yeah. Take care of you today. And a lot of times, women will reach out to me and just say, I'm unraveling. And I'll say, okay, what do you need to do today to get through today? We're not going to think about tomorrow. So today you've got a flood in your basement, sister friend. What do you need to do? And for me, it's like, okay, the physical part isn't a big deal, but the mental stress, and I have a huge event tonight, and I had the radio show this morning. So it's problem versus my calendar, And I chose to let my Coffee with Kim win that fight. And I've got a couple other things that have to win today. But, I've got to squeeze in this flood problem. But more importantly, I want to stay centered. I was feeling really overwhelmed this morning. And I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to get in the Word. I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to go for a nice run today, because that's a stress reliever for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going for a run. I'm fitting that in, because my self-care needs to be happening today.
Yeah. I'll be sitting here wheeling in a chair with you while that runs, just to support you.
That makes it sound like you're in a wheelchair.
No, I'm not in a wheelchair. I'm in a rolly chair.
Okay. A chair with wheels. There's a big difference.
It's too hot for me to go outside. So,
you are in Florida. It's supposed to be 88 here today.
Ugh. Yeah. That's bad.
It's going to be a hot run.
At least
but
some of that water might dry up.
I don't know. Not if it's 88 and humid, honey. The stars aren't lining up. But anyway, you guys, we want to see you win mentally, win physically, win spiritually, emotionally. And so we're talking to you today about stuff that goes on in your mind and in your emotions and what you're doing with your stress. We're here to help you live an extraordinary life, because we believe it's possible. All things are possible for those who trust in Jesus. That's what the Word says. And some of these things we're talking about today, you're like, I don't know if I can do that. Yes, you can. You can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And that's our message to you today. That's my message to me today. That's my message to you, Miss Heather.
Oh, well, thank you. I will receive that and I will take it. We're going to go ahead and wrap up the show, Miss Kim, if that's okay with you. So remember, ladies, the goal today, if nothing else, be a good communicator. Take it out of your head and put it in your mouth and throw it out at whoever it is you're trying to talk to. But do it in a loving, caring, kind way, because we don't want them to to walk away. We don't want them to feel attacked. We don't, as Kim so lovingly put it, we don't want to push through the door, ransack the house, and make them listen to what we're saying. We just want them to answer the door, and we want to have a nice conversation. So don't have the conversation for them. Have the conversation with them. And as far as our lovely tip of the day, I totally agree. Take a nice hot bath, go get a massage, go for a walk, or if you're crazy, go for a run like Kim does and call that relaxing. But if you do nothing else, make sure you tell your friends about Coffee with Kim and let's get that day covered.
Yeah.
So
it.
Here is how you can hear us next time. I want you to join us at our coffee cafe. It's at facebook.com/groups/coffeewithkim. And you can also go to blogtalkradio.com/coffeewithkim. And you can, if you leave us comments, by the way, we do read them and we will respond to you. You can also find Kim on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn, or by searching for Kimberly Joy Krieger. And you can also find more information or contact Kim at KimberlyJoyKrieger.com. So Coffee with Kim is going to be on the air every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. Make sure you follow us. Goodbye, Miss Kim.
Goodbye, Miss Heather. Bye, y'all.